Pentecost. It was originally called the Feast of Weeks by the Jews, and it was held 50 days after the Passover. It was a joyful time of celebrating the first fruits of the harvest given to them by God. The people gathered in Jerusalem were most likely from all parts of the world. Most of them knew Greek as well as their native language. The story of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, has many different interpretations. Today we will look at how the Holy Spirit teaches us to live in unity and community with each other. There will be three main points today. First, we will look at the story of Babel in the Old Testament. Second, we will see what happened on the day of Pentecost. And third, we will look at what Pentecost means for us today. You may wonder why Genesis 11, the story of the Tower of Babel, why was it read before the coming of the Holy Spirit? Scholars believe Pentecost is the reversal of Babel. The story of Babel, the people were gathering and working together to make a name for themselves. The tower they were constructing was all about them, not about God. In fact, the people had recently, they had gone through the flood, and God promised never to send a flood again. And in Genesis 9, God instructed Noah and his sons to be fruitful and fill the earth. But the people were not listening to these promises and commands. But they decided to cluster together and build a waterproof tower. I say waterproof because commentators noticed the people built with brick instead of stone, and they used tar instead of mortar. In the back of the people's minds, they're still thinking, what if there's a flood? We need a safe place. The people were not trusting in God. They were not trusting in his promises. They were not believing him. This tower they had created to subside their fears and distrust did not please God. So God confused their language so they could no longer understand each other. Commentator Meg Genista says, in their fear, they find their own solution, a tower of certainty. But human towers of certainty do not please God. At the Tower of Babel, God says, this is not the way, end quote. So how is Pentecost the reversal of the Tower of Babel? God caused disunity and confusion, while Pentecost brought unity and a sense of direction to his followers. Our highest purpose is trusting God in a world where trust has been violated. Like the Tower of Babel, mankind has become self-confident, relying on our own understanding instead of living fully in communion with God. Commentators reflect that the gospel is all about unity. Unity with God, but also unity with all people, as well as everything that was created in this world. God wants to bring his broken world to wholeness. When I looked up the word unity in relation to the Bible, this was the general idea. Unity is a transformative concept that calls believers to oneness, love, and harmonious fellowship. The unity Jesus desires isn't about teamwork. It's a reflection of the perfect relationship within the Trinity. The triune God is calling his people, his bride, his body, his children, to mirror the intimate bond shared among the persons of the Holy Trinity. Ephesians 4:3 says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." This verse emphasizes the active role believers should take in preserving unity. Let's move on to our second point, the time of Pentecost. Pentecost was a time of gathering the people together, many tribes, nations, languages. It was a time to give thanks to God as a community of believers. The disciples were waiting and praying together during this festival of weeks, or Pentecost, when suddenly a violent wind filled the home. And there, what appeared to be tongues of fire came over each one of them. Now, just for understanding, this is not about speaking in tongues, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, as a spiritual gift. This is the divine presence that has moved upon the disciples. This was the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was the fulfillment of John the Baptist's words in Luke 3, "The Holy Spirit will baptize with fire." The tongues of fire were what the prophet Joel said as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to read to you the remaining verses of this passage that I had selected. So verses 7 through 21 from Acts 2. "Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Aren't these all Galileans? How is it we each hear them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.' Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' But some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" The Spirit is moving the disciples to go from the safety of their room where they had been staying. That safety, they went out and proclaimed the gospel unashamed and with authority and with the indwelling of the Spirit. God comes through his Holy Spirit to all people, to all places. We're going to look at a map and see how far, if you see, look at where Jerusalem is, and look how far all these people are from. I mean, even up in Rome, in Italy, this is where all these people that were in Jerusalem had come from. And think of what the impact it had as those people went back to their homeland and had the power of the Spirit to proclaim the gospel. This outpouring of the Spirit was unpredictable, uncertain, unsafe. But God is in the Spirit. And in verse 14, we see a new Peter. Not the Peter that denied Jesus three times. Jesus had forgiven Peter, and through the Holy Spirit made him bold in his declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter explains away the nonsense of the disciples being drunk, and he quotes from the book of Joel. The prophecy is being fulfilled, and it continues to be fulfilled to this day. And about 3,000 were added to the number of believers that first Pentecost. I encourage you to read the rest of Acts 2 when you get home. This new unity of believers does not just return to their normal lives. Commentator Doug Bratt says, quote, "Yet once the Holy Spirit draws these new Christians together, that same Spirit sends them back into the world," end quote. So the third point, what does Pentecost have to do with us today? God continues to work in our lives in various ways and show his presence to us. It's not always as dramatic as that first Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came with the wind and the fire. But the Holy Spirit moves within his people and he brings energy and motivation. And this allows us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel. Remember, the Holy Spirit is only one part of that holy family, that holy Trinity. We are created, congregation, to live in unity and community. We've been created in his image to be that people. The effect of the Spirit was to bring the people together and allow them the basic understanding of the gospel in their native tongue. The breath of God means, by means of the Holy Spirit, is breathed in and out, drawing us together. Doug Bratt says, quote, "The Holy Spirit constantly invites God's adopted sons and daughters to deepen our unity, to even simply agree to disagree sometimes. It invites us to reach across even religious barriers, to work for the common good with people of other faiths, maybe even no faith," end quote. Remember, God comes to all people of every race, color, and nationality. Are we ready to accept all those that God accepts? The gift given to us at Pentecost is what we in the world desperately need. The gift to stand up and speak, to speak the good news of Jesus Christ and hope for a broken world. The book of Acts is concerned about what the Holy Spirit does rather than the Spirit itself. God created the world through the Spirit. God raised his Son from the dead through the Spirit. God works in each of our lives, each day, through the Spirit. The Spirit's not just for the apostles. It's for all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the Spirit, God calls his followers into community. The coming of the Holy Spirit can be unsettling and threatening. Face it, we don't like change. We don't like having our world turned upside down. We like the status quo. In fact, we would rather watch out for our own interests and things that would benefit us. The world and the church sometimes try to silence the visionaries and the dreamers. People of God, these dreamers and visionaries, they're right here in our own congregation. And they're outside there too. And Acts 2 challenges us to listen and see what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us. This is how we celebrate Pentecost. People of God, will you allow God to humble your heart, repent, asking his Spirit for love and grace to lead you, so that the world will know that you are followers of Christ? Jesus prayed for us, and he gave his Holy Spirit to help us. Accept his help. Accept his guidance. Pray for the indwelling of his Holy Spirit to fill you with love, humility, and grace, so that others who see you will see who you truly belong to. God does not want us to live in dissension and ashamed of the gospel. No, God sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to live in community with each other, proclaiming the gospel and sharing his love with others. The Holy Spirit came to help the body of believers in unity with each other. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.